We're going to spend some time today thinking about what it means to be a Christian. It's kind of like Christianity 101 today, where we're thinking a little bit about the basics of what difference does it make being somebody who has faith in Jesus. What's different for a Christian when it comes to managing life? And last week we did the Brain Medic Masterclass, which was really, really helpful, and it showed us a lot of ways that we can access resources that are available to us. But what difference does it make being a Christian and managing, whether it's the things that are going on in life that are causing us difficulties or the things that are going well? What's different about how we approach a mental health challenge? What's different about how we approach a relationship challenge? What's different about how we manage our finances? There's a lot of disconnection for people in terms of where we go for help. And last week in Matthew 11, in the morning, we taught through this gracious invitation that Jesus gives. And even if you weren't here last Sunday morning, you'll probably recognize the words of Jesus where he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Jesus offers, no matter what is going on in life, that he is the one that we can turn to. So what does that mean for us in all the different challenges that we face? How does faith in Christ change what it means for me to manage my life? So we're going to explore the big picture of that question today. And so if you're a Christian, a lot of what we talk about hopefully is kind of like revision. It's stuff that hopefully you're familiar with as you've journeyed in your faith so far. So probably what the Holy Spirit will be wanting to do in us is to let us think through how we're living at the moment, and so that we can ask ourselves, are we actually living according to the truths that the Bible has for us about how life can look? If you're new to Christianity, there might be some new stuff that the Holy Spirit might be wanting to teach you today about the kind of difference Jesus can make, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. So as we prepare to think through what God's Word has to say to us, let's pray. God, as we think about what you want to say to us this afternoon, help us to be really attentive to you. Lord, we're not interested in any human theories. We're interested in hearing what the God who created us, who made us and knows us intimately and perfectly, wants to say to each one of us about how life is working. So God, help us to tune into you today, we pray. And thank you for the great gift of your Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you know, the Scriptures which teach us everything we need to know. Amen. So I'm going to put a picture on the screen, and this picture represents what it means to be human. Now, some of you might have looked at that picture and said to yourself, this represents something entirely different for me. It kind of represents a time of the year that I particularly enjoy or don't enjoy, depending on who you are. But you'll see in a few minutes why that picture actually works when we're thinking about life and what it means to be a human being. But first of all, it's useful because it contains some words that relate to different parts of who we are as people. The first is emotional. We are all emotional beings, and some of us express emotion much more out there, and others kind of keep it a little bit internal, but we all have emotions. That's how we've been created. And as we thought about by having the Brain Medic Masterclass last week, our emotions are often the things that signal when something's not quite right in life, because there's some emotions churning around that sometimes tell us that life is not being ordered in the way in a way which fits with how God has created us to work. So we are emotional people. We're also intellectual. We have thought patterns, and it's a different part of the brain that manages our emotions, but both of those parts of the brain are important. Thinking things through is an important part of being human. And we, of course, are also physical. We have bodies that we inhabit. And one of the great things about the workshop that we did last week is we heard about some science that links those three together. And for a lot of us, it's like, oh, I didn't realize that there were certain physical things like my diet and my sleep patterns and my age and all that kind of stuff that really do impact my emotional health really strongly. It's not just the way we think, it's what's going on in our bodies that relate to our emotions. But it gets even broader than that, because we have certain habits, and all of us have habits in the way that we do life, how we speak, what we do, and that has a huge effect on all of those other realms as well. And of course, we are very social beings. And again, some of us express that really differently than others. There are introverts and there are extroverts, but it doesn't matter what you're like. You were made to have relationships with others, relationships which actually are a blessing to you and a blessing to others. We've been created for that. And we are environmental creatures, and that doesn't mean that we are protesting against climate change, although fine if you would like to do that. Environmental beings basically means that where we find ourselves matters. It affects us. So when I find myself out in nature, I'm a completely different person to when I find myself stuck on the freeway surrounded by cars. You know, where we are affects us. And that's just part of being human again. And the last thing that most people on Earth recognize as part of the package of what it means to be human is that we're resourceful. We have a certain amount of time. None of us know how much time, but we have some time on this earth. We have treasures, and that might be how much money we have, what possessions we own, however you want to measure that stuff. And we have talents. We've got things that we can do. And it's our responsibility as people to manage how we're using our time, how we're using our treasures, how we're using our talents. And how that's going for us has a huge impact on how we're feeling. When the bank account's looking really, really low and there's bills coming in, sometimes we get a little bit churned up on the inside. Our resources and what shape they're in affects what it feels like to be human. Now, most people spend most of their lives dealing with that kind of stuff. And it changes in different seasons in terms of how aware we are of our emotions, how aware we are of our bodies, how aware we are of our relationships or our thought life or the places that we want to be and all that kind of stuff. But for most of us, we're thinking about that all of the time. What aren't we thinking about yet as a key part of what it means to be a human being? Yeah, I heard a whisper over here, so I'm going to put up on the screen. In order to be fully human, the way God has designed us to be, there's a spiritual dimension. We were created to have a relationship with God. And a lot of people have different ideas about what it means to be spiritual. There's lots of, you know, spirituality kind of concepts that float around. But when we talk about being spiritual, we mean having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to have a genuine connection with God. And to be fully human, to be healthy inside and out, to flourish as people, means all of that stuff has got to be in line with how God created us to be. That was one of the things I appreciated about how Rochelle shared with us last week. She spoke about when we are aligned with how we've been created to operate. And that's very much a Christian ethos. We want to line up all of these parts of our lives with how God has created us to work. And when we do that, life seems to work. Now, who's the only person who's ever been able to make all of this work? Jesus. Now you're getting why I chose the picture, right? Because at Christmas time, we remember that Jesus came into our earth and became one of us. He became fully human. And he's the only person who has actually demonstrated perfectly how God created human beings to operate. And so we are so privileged that we get to look to Jesus as the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and discover in him what it means for us to be fully human. So, as we think about what it means to be fully human, we want to think about, well, how are we approaching all of the bits of our life, and where do we go to for help when we need it, when some of those parts of life just aren't working out the way that they've been designed to? And the good news for us is not only do we have a perfect role model in Jesus, but we've been given the scriptures, the word of God, to speak into all of those aspects of life. For example, if you think about the emotions and you read through the Psalms, it's just such a rich catalogue of how people have processed their emotions in their relationship with God. When you read Galatians, you read about stuff like the fruit of the sinful nature, the sorts of emotions and things that bubble around when we're not in right relationship with God. And then it contrasts that with what it's like when we are in right relationship with God. The Bible speaks really richly to our emotional life. The Bible speaks really richly to our intellectual life, our thought life. Read Psalm 119 and how it talks about meditating on the Word of God and changing the way we think and being informed by the truths that God has in the Word. Read Romans 12 where it says that we are transformed as people. All of this stuff gets transformed to be more like Jesus through the renewing of our mind. God teaches us things. Our thought patterns matter. So the Bible has a lot to say to that. And 2 Timothy 3, we're going to look at in a little while, speaks very much to what goes on in our thought life. Our physical dimension gets spoken to a lot in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about the fact that our bodies don't actually belong to us. They belong to God. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Don't you know that you were bought at a price? Jesus died for you." So when you give your life to Jesus, you give all of yourself, including your physical body. So don't go doing stuff with your body that doesn't fit with who God is. No, your bodies are an important part of who you are and your relationship with God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're a collection of habits. Read Proverbs. Proverbs has stuff to say about really practical habits that we have in life, what we say, what we do. It talks about our work life and our family life and all kinds of things, helping us to develop godly habits. We're social. If you're not sure about that, read 1 John. And it says, you know, if you don't love people, then you can't really understand God's love and you can't experience God's love. So the spiritual dimension plays out in the social dimension as well. There's advice right through the Bible about who we should spend time with and who we shouldn't, how we should treat people, both inside and outside the church. The Bible says a whole heap of things about the kind of environments that we should place ourselves in. What are the places that we should go that are good for us? What are the places that we should avoid because they're harmful for us? And of course, it speaks a lot about our resources, what we do with our time, our treasures, our talents. Those things matter, not just for this life, but for the next. So the Bible, as we've just raced through it, speaks to all of that stuff. And it speaks to every aspect of being human. So the question I want you to wrestle with, because this is a the rubber hits the road kind of moment in terms of what does it mean for me? If I call myself a Christian, what difference does it make for me in terms of how I'm actually doing life? Do we just go to the Bible for advice on all of those sorts of things because it speaks to all of those things? Or do we turn to other places as well? Should we be turning anywhere else for help if God has given us something which speaks into all of these aspects of our life? So that's where we're going to answer that question by looking at 2 Timothy 3. So in your device or in your hard copy, if you'd like to turn to that, I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. But it's always cool to be able to look at it in your own laps as well. This is what Paul, who's getting toward the end of his life, is writing to a younger pastor who's pastoring a congregation, and he's just wanting to urge Timothy to do well at nurturing faith in others. And this is what he says. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. By the way, last days, that's just between when Paul was writing in his mind and when Jesus comes back. It's not like it's only going to happen right at the end of history. No, this is just what's going to go on, and it's going to get worse and worse until Jesus returns. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And before we start thinking about the world we live in and how people out there behave, let's remember who is being talked to here. Paul's writing to a pastor of a church and warning him not about how community out there operates. He's warning him about what churches can be like if we're not careful. Where we have a form of godliness, yeah, I go on Sunday, or I'm part of a Bible study group, or you know, I went forward at a meeting once, or I call myself a Christian. We have a form of godliness, but we're denying its power. It's not actually changing any of this stuff. It's just a label that we wear. And when you look at lifestyle, you go, well, is Jesus making any difference at all? When you look at that list of descriptors and the kind of stuff that's going on in their emotions, the kind of stuff that's going on in how they deal with their resources, the way that they relate to others, their social relationships, what they do with their bodies, you know, in every dimension of life, it's looking ugly and horrible. And it's like, well, what's going on here? And Paul says to Timothy, watch out for this. Watch out for those who have a form of godliness but deny its power. Have nothing to do with them. That sounds really harsh. Why would you not have anything to do with people who live this way? Why would you have nothing to do with people who are quite happy to maybe go see a relationship counselor but won't listen to the Bible when it speaks to their relationships? Why do you not have anything to do with people who might go see a financial manager but don't want to have anything to do with what Jesus says about how to deal with money? Why would you have nothing to do with people who aren't letting the Holy Spirit change the way that they express and their emotions toward others and how they process life? what they do with their bodies and all that kind of stuff. Why would you be avoiding people who have the label Christian but don't live in a transformed way? Well, it's actually pretty simple, because it's a really dangerous thing to be part of a Christian community that doesn't actually follow Christ. It doesn't actually have a Christian culture. Because the job of the church is to be a beacon to the world that says Jesus saves. Jesus can transform your life. Jesus can give you a new eternity. And that's our job. We are to be Christ's witnesses. Remember how he said it to the first disciples? Here in Jerusalem and Judea and then to Samaria and then to the very ends of the world. You'll be my witnesses. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. We're to be the ones who represent Jesus. But if we are not being transformed, if our lives are looking like that, then what are we actually advertising? Jesus changes nothing. Imagine being a church where that's on your billboard. Kingsley Church of Christ, we've got a bit of space on our sign. We'll just paint that there. Jesus changes nothing. Wouldn't that be tragic? Yet, Paul's writing to Timothy and saying that's kind of what happens when you have a form of godliness but deny its power. And if Jesus isn't changing us in the here and now so that we're living differently, why should we believe what he says about eternity? They kind of go together, don't they? So, the good news is that the passage doesn't stop there, because it'd be pretty bleak if it did. We, like Timothy probably and like Paul warns, have probably experienced those moments where there's been things in our lives and things in our churches where we've gone, oh, that didn't represent Jesus well. And there's been some tastes of that kind of stuff. But Paul goes on to write this: you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Side note, following Jesus is hard. It's better than the alternative, but it is still hard. While evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So as Paul writes to Timothy, Paul's not pretending to be perfect. Paul's not portraying himself as though he was Jesus, the only one who's ever done life perfectly. But what Paul is able to say is, look, you know my story and you've spent time with me. You know that Jesus has changed my life. And Paul's not claiming that he's never lost his temper or that he's never taught something incorrectly and had to go back and fix that up, or he's never made a bad decision about, you know, what to do in their mission. But he is saying, look, you've seen how I've taught. You've seen the way that I've lived. You've seen what matters most to me in life. You've seen how I've endured through tough times and I've kept going. Why has all this happened when originally I was trying to stamp out Christianity? It's because Jesus has changed my life. You know people. You've had people in your life who have shown you that Jesus changes people. And these people have entrusted to you the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on to basically say, now what you've been receiving from your mum, from your grandma, from those that you've travelled with, from me as your mentor, now entrust to others. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And if you haven't already memorized this verse, if you're a guy, you can memorize it just the way it's translated there. If you're a female, just translate that verse 17 so that the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped, because both are true of the intent of the text. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, as your life comes under the effect of scripture, as the Holy Spirit works in your heart and in your mind, and as you're surrounded by people who love you and are prepared to speak God's word into your life, you become different on the inside and on the outside. You are able to live in right relationship with God that equips you to do everything that God has planned for you to do. And that's the kind of life that we want to aspire to. We don't want to have a form of godliness but deny its power. We want to actually be people who are changing. And according to the scriptures themselves have that power when we as God's people, by God's Spirit, use them in each other's life. So let's go back to the original question, though. As Christians, should we only be going to Scripture in order to be changed in all those dimensions of life? Is that what is different about Christians? We do tend to find that we sway from one to the other. So there are some Christians who go, you know what, I don't need to see a psychologist. I don't need a financial planner. I don't need a relationship counselor. I don't need even a doctor sometimes. There are some who think that because I've got God and I've got the Bible. So there are Christians on that extreme. And then you have other Christians who are more over here, and it's like, well, I call myself a Christian, but really I rely on my financial planner and my relationship counselor and my psychologist and my GP and my medical specialist and all the other people, just like everyone else relies on them. What's this actually saying about what is the wise approach to the Christian life? What it's not saying is that the Bible is the only source of truth for every aspect of what it means to be fully human. It is saying the Bible speaks into every aspect of life, but it's not saying it's the only voice by which God speaks to us. We've got to be very careful about making the Bible say more than what it means to say. Now, the Apostle John, when he was writing his gospel, he says, I could have filled entire libraries. In fact, there's not enough room in the world for all the books that could be written about what Jesus said and did. So the Bible itself acknowledges there's limitations. It's only depending on your version. It's either on a phone or maybe that thick or that thick, depending on what size the print is in your Bible. It's not meant to cover everything. But what did Paul say? The scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. In other words, the Bible says absolutely everything you need to know about this. You don't need to know anything else from anyone else about how to have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says everything you need to know about how to have salvation through faith in Jesus. It never claims to say everything we need to know about the rest of this stuff. But what does it claim? Well, look at, again, back into those verses. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful. When I go to my doctor, I usually trust what he or she has to say about whatever the medical condition is that I'm facing. Occasionally, if it's serious enough, I might go to a second GP or specialist. Why would I do that? My doctors have been well trained. They've spent years and years and years studying. They've got years and years and years of life experience and medical practice experience. Now, why would I feel like I need a second opinion sometimes? Because nobody's perfect. Doctors sometimes get it wrong. Relationship counselors sometimes get it wrong. Financial planners sometimes misread what's going on in the markets. No one and nothing is perfect. Nothing in this world. No one in this world. But God says the scriptures have been breathed out by him and can be relied on. And so what's the thing that we want to go to as our test to make sure that anything that we're hearing from any other source is actually going to be useful, it's going to be actually true and helpful? Go to the scriptures. So it doesn't say everything about everything, but it is the only infallible guide. And so we want to know it really well. I'd hate to go to let's say it's I'm getting some advice on a difficult relationship issue, a conflict situation, I'm getting some coaching. I would hate to take on board what somebody said and be unaware that actually the Bible says something about that. I want to know everything the Bible says so that I can test anything that comes from anywhere else to make sure that I'm living by truth and not by falsehood. So the Bible can be relied on as a trustworthy revelation. So please don't underestimate the rich source of life-changing truth that God has given us. Make sure you're getting to know your Bible really well. When we're having a discussion on any topic as a community of people, we don't want to talk about any topic as though we were just a bunch of mates who don't have a relationship with God and don't have access to his word. We want to allow his word to speak into that stuff. It's the best thing that we can do for one another. Please don't neglect all the other ways God speaks to us, because it's only by the grace of God that we have doctors and we have counselors and we have financial planners and all those people who help us in all the spheres of life. They wouldn't be able to do what they do if God hadn't put something of his goodness and ability inside them. So use all of those resources, but don't think that that's all you have. You have the Spirit of God if you're a Christian. You have the Word of God and you have the people of God. they are an invaluable resource to you as well. And they are what will make the difference between looking like everyone else who doesn't have the power of godliness and looking like transformed followers of Jesus. So what's that looking like for you at the moment? How are you accessing the truth of God in all the spheres of your life? Are you willing to? Or would you rather follow the advice of some of the other sources around? My prayer for us is that we won't be people who have a form of godliness but deny its power. Let's hook into the fact that all scriptures God breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so the man or woman of God can be thoroughly equipped. Let's use scripture in each other's lives generously and faithfully and reliably. And don't ever feel like self-conscious, like, oh no, I'm a goody two-shoes quoting scripture again. It's the best thing you can do. It's the best gift you can give. Let's give and receive that well.